Hello! I'm very excited to announce that we now have merchandise for Bedtime Stories with R.A. Spratt. You can order t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, notebooks and coffee cups, all with the show's new logo on it. They look super cool, so check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for the online store, or you can go to my website, raspratt.com, and click on the merchandise banner. So if you have been enjoying the stories, please do consider ordering something to support the show and help me keep kicking this can down the road. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so we're reading my book, The Pesky Kids 5, The Final Mission, and we're up to Chapter 5, Scones. Here we go. The Pesky Kids found themselves standing in front of a trestle table. Three old ladies were sitting on the other side. They already knew Mrs. Bellamy, the owner of Princess Anastasia, the morbidly obese cat. They also knew Miss Tinker because she was a resident at the retirement home they passed every day on the way to school. April was forever getting into arguments with the elderly residents. She was convinced they only played croquet so they could whack the ball at Pumpkin. Pumpkin was, in fact, growling at Miss Tinker now. He knew how good her ankles tasted. The only person they didn't know was the lady sitting in the middle. She was clearly very old. It was hard to tell how old exactly, but she was so small and withered and wrinkly, it could have been anywhere between 80 and 180. "This is President Sweet," said Loretta. "Madam President, I don't believe you've met the Peskies before." The wrinkled old lady lifted the glasses that were hanging on a chain around her neck. She carefully balanced them on her ears and nose. "Not met, no," President Sweet agreed in a quavery voice. She peered closer at Pumpkin sitting happily in April's arms. "Although I believe that dog once relieved himself on my mobility scooter." "So you're the one who owns that red mobility scooter," accused April. "Then yes, he did pee on it. I encouraged him. You parked it in a very inconvenient place, blocking the bicycle rack near the post office. If you don't want dog pee on your scooter, try following the road rules." "Really," exclaimed Mrs. Bellamy. She was clattering unnecessarily and glaring at the Pesky Kids as she set out teacups. "We should wait till Constable Pike is back and then have them arrested. A maximum security juvenile detention facility is where this lot belongs."
"That's as may be," said President Sweet,
her voice so weak everyone leaned in to make out what she was saying. It was a neat trick to get people to pay attention.
"But that won't get us what we want."
Mrs. Bellamy pressed her lips together. She clearly wanted to say more, but knew she shouldn't. She sat down in her chair and folded her arms instead.
"If you've got something to say to us, couldn't you just get on with it?" prompted April. "We should be at school learning."
"You've never cared about school in your life," objected Finn.
"They don't know that," said April.
"We're just waiting for another member of the executive," said President Sweet.
"We need a quorum," said Mrs. Bellamy. "Four members of the executive must be present to make a disciplinary decision."
"I thought we'd been invited for scones," said April. "This is the CWA," said the president. "We give scones to everyone."
"Sorry I'm late," the door banged open, and the cat lady strode in. She was still wearing mucky Wellington boots. She'd obviously come straight from the farm.
"The bull got out and chased my grandson. He had to hide in an old abandoned tractor in the bottom paddock. I didn't realise till he'd been there 6 hours.
Pumpkin barked happily. He liked the cat lady. She smelled of animals and knew just the right spot to scratch him behind the ears.
"Is Neil all right?" asked Finn.
The cat lady's grandson was Finn's best and only friend.
"He seemed fine," said the cat lady. "Nothing bleeding."
The cat lady went around to the far side of the table and sat down.
"Very well," said the president. "Let's begin. Who wants scones?"
"Can't we get on with it?" "Ow!" said April.
Loretta had kicked her in the ankle.
"Yes, please," interrupted Loretta.
Eventually, after much fuss, all the Pesky Kids and Loretta had a scone, jam, cream and a cup of tea. It was hard to hold it all because they'd not been invited to sit down. Indeed, there were no chairs for them. The old ladies sat on the other side of the table, comfortably sipping their tea and nibbling their scones. Joe desperately wanted to shove his whole scone in his mouth and perhaps take 5 or 6 more, but the teacup and saucer in his right hand shook and spilled slightly every time he tried to bring the scone closer to his mouth.
"I expect you're wondering why we invited you here," said President Sweet. It's because of the paper mache mess on Mrs. Odin's daughter's car, said April. But it's not our fault. It's the postman who should be in trouble. He's the one who let go of his rope. Pumpkin only gave him the tiniest nip hello.
Really, said Mrs. Bellamy. Nice Dr. Singh told me last week that he'd put 6 stitches in Sam's bottom because your dog wouldn't let him put the power bill in your letterbox.
April shrugged and hugged Pumpkin tighter. Perhaps he got bitten by another larger dog later in the day. He isn't very good with animals.
She's got a point, said the cat lady. He's always been frightened of my bear.
We mustn't get sidetracked, said Mrs. Bellamy. These kids constantly talk jibber-jabber, so we'll forget what they've done.
Well, I haven't forgotten. We should tell them why they're here.
Oh, yes, agreed President Sweet. We want to discuss reparations.
Huh? Said April.
Reparations are how you make up for damage you caused, explained Finn.
I know that, said April, whacking Finn in the arm. By huh, I meant reparations for what?
The damage you caused to the giant potato last Friday, said Miss Tinker. The dinosaur is still impaled headfirst in the giant potato. The potato festival is coming this weekend, and the giant potato will be the focal point.
And it's a very special potato festival this year, added Mrs. Bellamy. The CWA has been working tirelessly to ensure that Dame Bronwyn herself will be here to officiate the parade and award the brown crown to the potato princess.
We can't have a dinosaur sticking out of the monument to her great contribution to horticulture, said President Sweet.
But that's not our fault, said April. We didn't hijack the bus or crash it.
Really? Said President Sweet. I was told that one of you sabotaged the bus using a blind boy's white cane.
He's not blind, said April. He's vision impaired.
Who told you about that anyway? Asked Finn.
Probably Tom, said April. He's such a dibber-dobber.
Oh, no, said Miss Tink. It slipped out when I was having a cup of tea with the nice sergeant over at the police station in Billgong.
Why were you having tea with the police sergeant in Billgong? Asked Loretta.
Well, he loves my jammy dodgers, said Miss Tinker, and policing is a stressful business. He likes to have 3 or 4 biscuits, then open up about what's been troubling him at work.
You've been pumping him for information, using biscuits as bribes, accused April.
It's genius, said Loretta with admiration.
It was the bank robbers who stole the bus, said Joe. You can't blame us.
Well, actually, said President Sweet, yes, we can.
And we do, said Mrs. Bellamy.
More tea? Asked Mrs. Tinker, smiling at them.
Besides, the bank robbers are in jail, said President Sweet. The silly police are always so keen to lock people up. It would be much more sensible to make them clean up their mess first.
But they didn't, said Mrs. Bellamy, so you'll have to do it for them.
That's not fair, said April.
Life's not fair, said the cat lady. Precisely, said President Sweet. We are old and we have learned that life is cruel and unfair. Now you will learn. We don't care what you did or didn't do on that bus. You are going to fix our potato. On Saturday, it will be as good as new, if not better. It will take pride of place as the focal point of the potato festival.
What if we say no? Asked April.
President Sweet had been about to put a scone in her mouth. She froze and looked up. We will make your lives a living H-E double hockey sticks.
Huh? Said April.
Hell, whispered Loretta. It's the nice way of saying hell.
Well, why would someone want to say hell nicely? Asked April.
Loretta shrugged.
Because they don't want to go there?
We'll do it, said Finn.
No, we won't, said April.
All right, I'll do it, said Finn. I like fixing things.
Excellent, said the president. We'll arrange to have it delivered to your home so you can set to work immediately.
You're going to dump the giant potato in our yard? Asked April.
Dad won't like that, said Joe.
Good, said the president. Extra motivation for you to get it fixed speedily.
Okay, that's the end of chapter 5, but let's keep going. This is chapter 6, The Challenge. When the pesky kids finally arrived at school, nothing could have prepared them for what they saw. The entire school had gone potato crazy. Students were wearing potato decorations, others were wearing potato hats, and some were simply wearing clothes covered in potato peelings.
What is going on? Asked April. Was there some sort of asteroid shower in the night that affected the entire population of Kurrawn except us? No, this is pretty standard behaviour for day one of the countdown to the potato festival, said Loretta.
They used to do this at your school too, asked Finn.
Loretta had gone to an elite private school for children of the super wealthy until recently when she'd been expelled.
In spirit, yes, said Loretta. The students at St. Anthony's enjoyed celebrating the potato festivities, but they didn't wear homemade costumes. Their potato suits and potato onesies were made by the finest costume designers in the country. One girl even had a potato tutu created by a costume designer from the Paris Opera.
Loretta smirked as she made this comment. April peered at her. She was beginning to be able to identify Loretta's smirks.
That girl was you, wasn't it?
Loretta broke out into a full grin. Yes, actually. I don't like to do things by half measures.
So the countdown is a thing, is it? Asked Joe.
Oh, yes, said Loretta. Every day has its own ritual.
Well, what's the ritual for day one? Asked Finn.
Loretta smiled again. This time her grin was particularly wicked. Day one is when they call for nominations for the potato princess.
You are kidding me, exploded April. A princess? Haven't these people heard of feminism? This is the 21st century.
Not in Currawong, it's not, said Finn. I don't think they're scheduled to enter the 21st century for another couple hundred years.
But a potato princess? It's so degrading, said April. Is it some sort of beauty pageant?
Oh, no, said Loretta. It's a potato pageant. The school bell rang. Students cheered and started rushing towards the school quadrangle. Come on, urged Loretta, grabbing Joe by the wrist. We'd better hurry. We want to get a good spot.
Good spot for what? Asked Joe.
You'll see, said Loretta. When they arrived at the quadrangle, the students were all crowded around a makeshift stage.
That looks like a boxing ring, observed Finn.
Joe peered closer.
It is a boxing ring.
Cool, said April.
Yeah, the school can't afford an actual stage, butted in Kieran.
He was the know-it-all boy who loved using every opportunity he got to show exactly how knowledgeable he was, particularly about the history and customs of Currawong. He was forever listening in on other people's conversations and educating them on points of history that they didn't know about or want to know about.
But they can afford a boxing ring? Asked Finn.
Oh, they didn't buy it, said Kieran. They accepted it in barter. A travelling boxing troupe was passing through and their truck broke down. After 3 days, they were so desperate to leave, they begged for someone to help.
Very sensible, commented April.
But it was potato pulling season, said Kieran, so no one could be spared. It was all hands out in the fields. Eventually, they offered to give Mr. Lang their boxing ring if he drove them to the nearest train station.
Where is the nearest train station? Asked Finn.
560 kilometres away, said Kieran.
So they gave up their way of making a living just to get out of Currawong, said Finn.
Sounds like a fair trade, said April.
Just then there was a ding-ding-ding of a boxing bell. Mr. Lang climbed up on the side of the ring, bent over and squeezed himself between the top and middle ropes, then made his way to the microphone stand in the centre.
Thank you all for coming, said Mr. Lang.
It's school, heckled April. We didn't have a choice.
You could be homeschooled, jeered Matilda Vos Nevers. We'd all prefer it if you were homeschooled.
There was some cheering at the suggestion. Matilda prided herself on being a goody two-shoes with perfect pigtails. She disliked the peskies on sight because they were so messy and chaotic, but her loathing for them grew significantly when they proved she'd cheated in the annual cockroach races.
Do you want me to school you on how to shut your mouth? Asked April,
dropping her school bag so she could square up for a fight. Loretta sighed. It's the sight of the boxing ring. It's given her ideas. Joe grabbed hold of April and moved so he was standing between her and Matilda. Pumpkin growled, never taking his eyes off his mistress's pigtail-wearing nemesis.
Currawong High is proud to once again participate in this great historical festival, continued Mr. Lang, celebrating the hard work of our local agricultural community.
Please, heckled April. You're talking about spuds. It's not like putting man on the moon. You get a spud, you put it in the ground. It grows more spuds. It's not rocket science.
A juice box flew through the air and hit April in the back of the head. It had been half drunk, so juice oozed down April's hair and under the collar of her shirt.
Hey, said April, spinning round. Who threw that?
No one responded, but a sea of faces glowered at her. Pumpkin yapped and growled, ready to back up his mistress. Loretta took her hand. April, I love you, and not just because you are my sister. I genuinely admire your constant naked hostility. But I'm telling you, if you don't shut up and stop smack-talking potatoes, you're going to start a riot. The people here take potatoes very, very seriously.
April glared at the crowd around her. They were all glaring back. April wasn't intimidated. She was prepared to take them all on, but she did want to know about this mysterious potato announcement, so she decided against derailing the event by starting a fight. She could always take them on later if the announcement proved to be disappointing. After one final glower, she picked up Pumpkin and turned back to pay attention to Mr. Lang.
"It's my great honour to welcome to the stage Mrs. Sweet, President of the Currawong CWA. Madam President?"
Mr. Lang stepped back. The crowd parted on one side, and Mrs. Sweet could be seen making her way through the throng in her mobility scooter. It was painfully slow.
"Do you think she'd let me soup that up for her?" asked Finn. "Dad's got an old outboard motor with way more horsepower than that."
"I've got a horse with way more horsepower than that," said Loretta.
"But how's she going to get up onto the boxing ring?" whispered April. She had to whisper because everyone had fallen into a hushed and respectful silence, almost as if they were in church. "Do you suppose the scooter has some sort of ejector seat that will shoot her in?"
"Oh, that's a good idea," said Finn. "I could install one of those too." When she got to the ring, Mrs. Sweet stopped. Joe took a half step forward. His instinct was to help, but he didn't want to seem rude, and he didn't see how he could possibly manhandle the old woman into the ring and preserve her dignity. But Mrs. Sweet didn't look about for help. She laid her palms on the canvas floor, tucked her head under the bottom rope, and slid her body forward until the top half of her was on the floor. Then she spun to one side while pulling up her legs. Now she was entirely inside the ring, but lying face down, so she rolled over and called out one word. "Up!" Mr. Lang hurried over, took both her hands, and helped Mrs. Sweet to her feet.
"That is one of the weirdest things I have ever seen," said April.
"It was sort of like a ballet," agreed Loretta, "if the ballerina was incredibly old and only had one move to perform." Mrs. Sweet now clung tightly to Miss Lang's arm as he led her over to the microphone.
"Girls and boys," began President Sweet.
Usually the high school students sniggered when someone referred to them as girls and boys, but no one sniggered at President Sweet.
"I am here today as president of the Country Women's Association to officially announce the countdown to the Potato Festival."
The entire student body roared with adulation. There was cheering and chanting, although it was hard to make out any particular words. President Sweet held up her hand for silence, and in seconds the students had fallen quiet.
"And day one of the potato countdown is the day we call for nominations."
"Nominations for what?" asked April.
"Shh," said Loretta, as she strained to hear what President Sweet would say next.
"It is your job, as the young people of Currawong," continued President Sweet, "to choose the best among you. You must make the nominations for the Potato Princess."
There was an even louder roar of excitement from the crowd now.
"You're kidding," said April. "Have we slipped through a wormhole into a parallel universe and now we're living in a vegetable-themed fairy tale?"
"Maybe," said Loretta. "That would explain a lot."
"The Potato Princess is an important role," said President Sweet.
April made a scoffing noise and earned herself a sharp kick in the shins from an anonymous foot in the crowd.
"Unlike princesses in the real royal family in England," said President Sweet, "the Potato Princess is chosen on merit for her selfless work in the community. She must help others, support the disadvantaged, aid the elderly, and enrich Currawong with her grace and presence."
Finn elbowed April in the ribs.
"That rules you out."
April didn't respond except a stomp on his foot. At this point, President Sweet opened her voluminous handbag and started rifling about inside it. Mr. Lang leaned forward to help, but she slapped his hand out of the way. She found what she was looking for and pulled out a brown hessian sack.
"I present the ceremonial potato sack," announced President Sweet. "It shall be left here upon the stage for the rest of the school day. To nominate a girl for Potato Princess, you must come forward and put her name in this sack."
There was a sudden commotion in the crowd. Cries of pain and protest travelled through the tightly packed students. Someone was pushing their way to the front. Daisy Oden's daughter. She burst out of the throng, slid onto the floor of the ring, bounced to her feet, held up a pink index card to show the crowd, then shoved the card into the sack.
"I nominate myself," declared Daisy.
"She's not a shy girl, is she?"
Finn murmured to Loretta. But then he realised Loretta wasn't there. Looking around, he saw that Loretta had glided to the front of the crowd, persuaded a bulky boy to crouch down while she stood on him and stepped up
onto the outside of the ring. She had a piece of paper in her hand. She held it outstretched.
"Mr. Lang, be a dear and pop that in the sack for me," asked Loretta.
Mr. Lang seemed to act more under the tractor beam of her smile than through any conscious thought of his own. He took the slip and popped it in the bag. Daisy actually growled like a wild animal. Pumpkin fell silent. He wasn't used to hearing a human steal his thunder.
"You're going down, Viswanathan," said Daisy in her most menacing voice.
"Of course I am," said Loretta. "I'm not going to stand up here all day." She smiled broadly and stepped back onto the stocky boy and down onto the ground before sauntering back to the peskies.
"You actually want to be the Potato Princess?" asked April scathingly.
"I'm not sure," said Loretta, "but I do know that I want to run for Potato Princess. I think this whole festival has so much potential for fun."
"I can't think of anything worse," said April. "You know you'll have to prance about in a frilly dress and suck up to everyone."
"Maybe, but it'll be competitive prancing around," said Loretta, turning to look at Daisy, who was still in the boxing ring, glowering at her. Loretta smiled and waved back, "and that's what makes it fun."
"Ugh," said April. "You're all twisted. Let's go to class. We're supposed to be learning, you know."
April picked up her bag and started to walk away with Loretta, Joe and Finn. Then behind them, there was another commotion. They turned to see someone else clambering up into the boxing ring.
"Who is that?" asked Loretta.
It wasn't a girl this time. The figure stood up. He looked like a potato.
"It's Neil," exclaimed Finn.
"What's he doing?" asked April.
"It looks like he's going to nominate someone," said Loretta. Neil was hurrying over to the sack.
"Who?" asked Joe.
"Oh, no," said Finn.
He could guess. Neil was hopelessly in love with April. No one had realised this yet, because Neil's face was so potato-like it rarely registered any form of emotional expression. But Finn knew, and he felt sorry for his friend. He dreaded the day that April found out. It was one thing for her to spend her days brutalising everyone with her bursts of anger, but he didn't want to see her destroy his best friend. Neil had turned and was making his way out of the ring now. The crowd was jeering at him. People were calling out, asking whose name he put in. But Neil just stared at the ground and kept walking. He hated being noticed. If he pretended he didn't notice that people had noticed him, perhaps the whole nightmare might not be true.
"Do you think he's put his own name in?" asked April. "If he has, good for him. Someone needs to confront these outdated gender-biased events. There's no reason boys shouldn't go in it."
"And be princesses?" asked Joe.
"What's wrong with a boy being a princess?" demanded April. "If it's good enough for a girl, it should be good enough for a boy too."
"Oh, nothing," said Joe.
Finn stayed silent. He knew Neil had not nominated himself. He could only hope Neil's handwriting was so bad that the name he had written would be impossible to read. Okay, well, let's leave it there. That's it for now, so until next time, goodbye.